This particular episode of the podcast discusses violent and sexual crime in detail. The content is not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is strongly recommended.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Murder She Wrote. Murder She Wrote is a podcast that highlights cases of femicide in Kenya. I have covered a number of cases so far, and it's easy to get caught up in the narrative, in the details. So let me again say that Murder She Wrote is a Kenyan podcast that highlights and explores cases of femicide in Kenya, so as to bring awareness to these cases. Many of them only spent a short time in the news. Even the more horrific ones, just 15 minutes of fame. And many to date remain unresolved. I believe that we as citizens of this country, of this continent, we should be having more conversations about these cases at all levels of society. Something is very wrong and big changes are needed so that girls and women can feel safe. A country that is safe for girls and women, I believe, is a country that's safe for everyone. This episode is really special because this is the season finale of season 3, the seventh and the last episode of season 3. And it's also special because today we have a guest. She's been here before, and she's going to sit with us as we go through today's episode. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing a very, should I call it bizarre? Today's episode is called Exports. And it's, I guess, a funny word to refer to crimes committed outside of the country, but by people who are from Kenya, people who grew up, who are raised here, and at some point left and went to another country and committed violent crimes. And let me take this opportunity to welcome our guest today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Okay, happy, but not too happy.
That's understandable given today's topic. And it's something that came up in a conversation we were having. I think the thing that sprouted the conversation was seeing recent news. This is current news about a woman, a Kenyan woman, who was murdered and her body left in a car in an airport in Boston. And the alleged perpetrator is said to have taken a flight to Kenya and is currently being sought by a multinational team involving detectives from Kenya and from the FBI in America. And this case was really, really disturbing. You remember when we saw the news or when we discussed the news?
I remember when we discussed it, but I remember seeing the headline in international news like way before, sometime actually even before you had caught wind of it and when we started talking about it together.
It really got me thinking about how many crimes are committed in other countries by Kenyans. And I remember reading, actually, whenever I see a news story about a Kenyan who has committed, especially a violent crime like a murder or a rape, which are the crimes we'll be discussing today, when I see it, it always catches my eye. And I find myself like, you know, going into a rabbit hole, wondering where this person is from, how long they were in Kenya, how long they've been in this country, like what the motive could be, even though there's really no justification for committing violent crimes against people. But it's something I always think about. And I remember I was, to prepare for this episode, I was looking for a case I saw a few years ago. And the reason that I was looking for this case, it had some really bizarre details. First of all, it was a Kenyan. So one crime was actually not even in the state that he was residing. He was in a neighboring state. And he was accused of having raped a woman in a car outside a nightclub. And there were many witnesses because it said that the woman raised the alarm. And then people came to her help, people who were in the parking lot, even a bouncer at the club who ended up getting injured. Actually, the alleged perpetrator beat him during the scuffle. Beat him, yeah. He was beaten with the mouth.
Oh my God.
And in that scuffle, and he was eventually apprehended, the police were called, but somehow a little while later, he was acquitted of the crime. And I remember going to seeing a forum where Kenyans were discussing this case. And I mean, there were comments that were really disturbing of people trying to defend him, even before the court process had gone through, saying that, you know, the definition of rape is very wide.
Excuse me?
In America, so, you know, it could just be someone who had come to work and then committed this crime. And I guess they felt a bit vindicated when later he was acquitted of the crime. And then he went to another state a few years later and he was accused of rape again, this time with very compelling evidence because the victim ran away and was able to be interviewed by police. So they got some details very soon after the alleged incident. And it's something that's currently undergoing the court process. But the policeman who investigated said when he saw the victim and the amount of violence she had been exposed to, because it was he was accused again of beating and raping an ex-girlfriend, like he had called her allegedly to reconcile. And then when she came, he beat her and raped her. And she managed to trick him in order to escape, allegedly, of course, because it's still in the court process. But, you know, it does raise some questions that in two different states, he's been accused of this crime. I mean, I know the first time he was acquitted, so legally, he's not culpable. But to then again be accused of the same crime, and now with a lot of compelling, at least testimonial evidence from the police. Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, you know, and I remember, like, people in the forums being really, you know, adamant about his innocence. I wonder if they followed the story and what they think. But it's... whether or not he's found guilty, it's disturbing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack here. So, like, the first thing is, had due process been followed, I would think in the first case, there would not have been a follow-up case mm-hmm. in another state. You know, like, especially considering how many people were present.
Yes, and a lot of witnesses.
Exactly, and the state of the woman who had escaped. And then the other thing is men talking about sexual violence online. That's such a very toxic space, especially, like you said, this was Kenyan men.
It was a Kenyan forum, like, you know, Kenyans in the diaspora, a place where they discuss, they like post news and then have like a little discussion below. I mean, I totally see where you're coming from. It's...
Wow.
Without even, you know, because I feel like there's an understanding, because as a person who is not undergoing a particular atrocity, it's difficult to understand what it is. So I feel like before you can comment, there's a whole education you need to go through to see, like, to be in that position, to put yourself in that position and understand, like, what's going on before you can offer any constructive, discussion.
Exactly. And I'll even add one more thing, because this is something that we've talked about before and we keep on talking about it. And there's kind of like a boys club mentality where, you know, I feel like men seem, if they see something, I don't know why, immediately they'll see themselves in the, you know, as the perpetrator and be like, no, can't be me. You know, like, I feel like they go through something in their head where when someone or they see someone reporting any form of sexual violence, sexual harassment, they'll see themselves and not see the victim or the woman's perspective at all. And that's why they're so quick. I don't know, I'm not explaining it as well as I'm thinking it, but they'll be so quick to be on that side of, no, it can't be. Yeah, that thing can't be that thing you're saying, which is really suspect, because I'm like, yeah, it is very possible that that action is an act of sexual harassment or sexual violence that you have probably done.
Yeah, if you're not aware of it. I totally get what you're saying. Like, quickly going on the defensive, because, I mean, if you fail to understand or to see the perspective of that person, in many times, like, when I put myself in that position, my instinct is, you know, I think there was a point when my instinct was a bit different when I did not know so much. But now I feel like my instinct is first to keep quiet and try and understand what's going on.
Right.
To quickly jump to the defensive is like, you know, it's, you know, you deny, like, it's kind of like gaslighting the victim. Like, you're saying whatever she's saying doesn't exist. So quickly defending someone who a whole legal system might, you know, probably find guilty without even questioning the situation. Like, why would several witnesses outside a nightclub lie about witnessing something in order to, you know, convict a person or accuse a person? It doesn't make sense when you look at all the circumstances, and then now the fact that he's been accused of the same crime in a different state. It really made me worry, and it's something that is very common in the discourse about sexual violence against women and children in Kenya.
Yes, yes.
The lady who was whose body was found at Logan Airport, she had a whole family, her friends, and before she was found dead, she was missing for a few days. So there's like people heavily affected by her loss. She was a nurse in the community, a very important member of a community where she used to work and live. And now she's not there anymore. Like, suddenly one day she was there and one day she was gone.
Can you give us more backstory about it?
Sure.
Were they in a relationship or?
So this is somebody who they were in a relationship, though in recent news, Kenyan news, I've seen that they've quoted her mother as saying that they were like she was going to leave him. But they did have, I'm not sure their relationship was current, but they did have a relationship. So she leaves work on the night of Halloween this year. That's October 31st. She leaves work and then she goes missing from that point. She doesn't come home from work. And after that, because it was very unusual for her to not come home, the family reported her missing. And then unrelated, prior to them identifying the woman, so the police are called that there's a body at a parking garage at Logan Airport, which is in Boston, in the state of Massachusetts. The lady worked in a town called Halifax, which is some distance away from Boston. That's where she went missing. And she had actually been, there were actually sightings of her having left work, and then after a few hours, the trail goes cold.
Mm.
So when the police are called for this body, they have no idea that it's related to the missing person's case they've been following. But when her identity is confirmed, they're able to connect the two cases, that this missing woman is this woman whose body is in this car. And the car is reported by one U.S. media source to belong to the individual who's alleged to have killed her. And her body was found in bad state. It was mutilated. She had injuries, and then she had also been stabbed. And there were like some stab wounds that they could tell looked like the cause of death.
Mm.
And then she had been left in the car. And then it's alleged that the owner of the car, also suspected to be the person who killed her, boarded a flight to Kenya and left. And the flight was allegedly booked a few hours before or a few hours after this woman was killed. So the flight was booked, I think, like the day after, and then the individual left the following day. So the investigation so far is in Kenya. I know that they went to his familial home and they didn't find him. They asked, interrogated or asked questions to a number of family members, but he hasn't yet been found. Currently, the news is that he hasn't yet been found.
Hmm.
Yeah. But given that the FBI are on the ground, I mean, there's a high chance that he will be found. Although, you know, like we were talking about, there are possibilities of, you know, just disappearing.
Absolutely.
Once you land in Kenya.
Absolutely.
Mm, it's very possible to just travel, go elsewhere. And it's just like, you know, the most disturbing thing to leave your home country and go commit a murder of a fellow country person in a foreign country. I mean, it's just terrible. Her family are really distraught. They talk about her in such glowing and warm terms. You can see that she's left a really big gap, and yeah, may God give them strength.
And may her soul rest in peace.
Yeah, so that case really got me into a rabbit hole, and you know, just a cursory Google of the word. So if you Google the word murder, a Kenyan man kills, I actually focused my search on only one country, on the States, because that's where there's a lot of data. And I think the highest Kenyan diaspora population is in a single country is in America.
Mm-hmm.
So many, not many, all of the cases we'll discuss today are cases, crimes committed in America. But Googling Kenyan rape in the USA will bring back a startling amount of results, some of which we'll discuss today.
Isn't that really scary? that a country of our population, and you know, the you can imagine how strict or rigorous the vetting is to get a US visa and to get the US and to have those many hits for that kind of search. I think that's really worrisome.
It's worrisome, it's disturbing, and there's actually a really, like, when you Google, apart from this current ongoing case of the lady whose body was found at Logan Airport in Boston, the second most common search is a man who is, by some definitions, a serial killer. And the names, I don't know, I have this thing that I don't like naming the perpetrator. I don't know if it really does much because, you know, if you just search for it, you can find. But this guy is quite remarkable. No, that's not the right word. I just mean that his story is quite shocking. He used to work, he had a job in America, but used to pose as a maintenance man and gain entry into these luxury living complexes, luxury residences for elderly people. And he would target old women and he would smother them and then rob them. And before they were able to connect that these cases may have, like all these deaths may have been committed by this one man from Elder Maravine in Kenya, it took a while because apparently smothering doesn't leave so much evidence. And then the people were old, so they used to think that maybe just she fell asleep and then she died. But they began to follow the trail of the missing possessions. And that's how they were able to connect, because they like trailed this man. I don't even know actually how they found... Oh, sorry. I know. One of the victims survived and she was able to describe him. And then the police went and then they watched him for a while and saw him throwing away something that belonged to, I think, her and to other victims. So they were able to connect him to the two robberies. When he was convicted of I think, 2 to 3 murders. But then they rested the case because he got the maximum sentence. But there were about 12 victims.
12?
Even, I think, more than that, linked to this one individual. He maintained his innocence until his death. And his death is described
He died.
He died. His death is described as poetic justice. You know who killed him?
Let me guess. One of the old ladies that he was trying to smother.
No, he died in jail.
Oh, he died in prison. Oh, right. Oh, you told me this. Yes. Oh, can I say?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was his cellmate.
His cellmate. And it's reported that he was like insulting him. And then this guy just didn't take it too kindly. And killed him. So he's now dead. I mean, he shot into the limelight with this very disturbing and heinous crimes that he committed, and then quickly went through the trial process, was convicted, went to jail, and then has been killed by his cellmate.
I have so many follow-ups for this guy.
Go ahead. We should spend some time on this because this is like one of the more prolific criminal exports Kenya has produced. And I don't say this to praise him. I think he's a despicable individual.
Can we curse?
But yeah, I can mark this episode as explicit.
Oh yeah, he's one sick fuck.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I have so many questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, so was it in one state or county or city in the US that he was doing this?
I think it was in one state. Let me find him. You know, he's here. I have all these...
This is him?
This is him. This is him.
Oh my days.
As he was undergoing trial during COVID, so hence the face shield. But yeah, this is him.
He looks so normal.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I know it sounds so silly to say something like that, but truly, he looks like a normal Kenyan person.
It was in Texas, in one state. It was in one region of Texas, in Dallas.
Because they were saying in the U.S., one of the easiest ways to get away with a lot of crime is to go... Yeah? Weren't we talking about this? Mm-hmm. Or was it something that I was listening to? Is to go... You commit them in different counties because the cross-communication between police departments in different counties is so poor.
Yeah.
And only like when it becomes a federal investigation, are they able to pull even more resources and make those kinds of links.
Mm.
So that's one of my questions, because he was able to go get away with it for so long. But also it's also because, you know, ageism and his victims, like the age portfolio of his victims was... was quite niche. Yeah, nobody asks too many questions. And also about the possessions, what did he do with the possessions? Because you have to offload them, don't you?
Maybe he did. Actually, I didn't find anything about like whether he was selling them or what he was doing with them, but he was going for the valuables like jewelry.
My goodness.
So he was, it seems, draw from that he was going for the valuable things with the possibility of making some money from that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's only this one old lady who survived, who was able to give them a description that they were able to put this together, because he used to work as they're called living aides, like home living or home aides. So it was easy for him, I think, to blend in that environment.
Yeah.
But eventually they were able to put like bits and pieces of evidence together, the description. Then in one house they were actually found lipstick smeared on a pillow. So things like that. Oh. Then they stalked him and found that he had the possessions of some of the alleged victims. So, I've actually confirmed he was convicted of two of the murders. He's convicted of two, but accused of, let me see what they say, murdering many more. How many more? They had given like a number, like I think a dozen. Oh yeah, additional over a dozen, 20 more women.
20?
20, yeah.
Oh my days.
So after they secured the two convictions, they thought to not, spend any more resources following up the others and consider that justice for the whole group.
But that's just so diabolical. I think that's the thing. I mean, apart from all these other, we are going to talk about some very gruesome, very heinous crimes, but this one is... It's even more, creepy or eerie, just because of how diabolical you have to be to take a job in such a space to guarantee you easy entry, easy exit. Nobody looks at you too seriously as well, you know? Like, people don't look at the janitorial stuff, so, or that kind of orderly stuff really well.
Mm-hmm. And then he also knows how to operate in those. You know, he fits in because... this is what he does. And it's something I talk about a lot, where I think that abusers or predators know how to position themselves where they can find victims. And I think it's usually so shocking when we hear of, like, you know, teachers who assault their students, or, you know, people who position themselves where they can find victims.
Yeah, like, look at that guy who was the U.S. gymnastics doctor, right. You know?
I mean, you'd think like, oh, what a shock, a doctor abusing their patients. But, you know, a doctor who has those tendencies would position themselves, a predator or abuser. They know how to position themselves where they can find victims, which is
right.
A really, really sick thing when you think about it.
Right.
But it's also, I think, you know, being more aware helps you to stay safe, so that you don't put all your trust in someone unless you can prove it. You can't put your trust in someone just because they are this profession. You know, no one is above suspicion.
Exactly. Exactly.
It sounds paranoid when I say it, but, you know, reading this news, of the murders, this man is the most prolific, and he's no longer with us, which is just... You know, life is so funny. And when you read the stories about him having been killed by his cellmate, there's this, like, I don't know, relief, which, to have lived a life that gives people relief when you're killed, like, surely, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's leave it at that. But yeah, of the murders, or the crime of murder, that one was the most prolific. Quite shocking. I remember when the news was actually trending, because he was going through this during COVID, and I remember, like, they had put the case together, and I just remember thinking, who is this person who has come from Kenya to go be one of those serial killers in America? Like, what an aspiration.
The other thing is that, like, we'll talk about this, I guess, a bit more later, but watu wana choma. You know, you're actually ruining opportunities for so many people abroad.
True. People who have good intentions, people who want to go and better themselves, their own lives, and the lives of others in that way. and you're going to ruin their chances, because of course it's going to reflect badly. I mean, I don't blame them when, you know, it reflects badly on the country this individual is from, but it's true. Wanachoma.
Because even us, we'd do the same. Like if someone came for to sure. murder somebody, you know, if we had a serial murderer in Kenya who is a foreigner.
For sure.
You know?
Ha. Ha. So after, so when I, well, when I was researching this, I Googled, so I remember just the one rape case, or let me say, alleged, or the man who was accused of rape, later acquitted. That's the case I remembered, and that's what I was trying to use as the basis of my search. But I couldn't remember his name for the life of me, and I just searched Kenyan rapist in the US, and that's how this case came, this episode came together, because several other really weird, really disturbing cases came up. I mean, this guy who has been accused of this crime in two different states is also really weird, but there was, so, I mean, I don't know if we're ready. I think after this, we're going to go have to treat ourselves and kind of come out of this. Because I have to warn you, this is it's a heavy episode. There are people doing really sick things out there. And this is just another warning through the episode that we're going to discuss some really bizarre and disturbing cases. People who have done really strange things. And weirdly enough, some of them have like more than one person has done the same similar type of crime. It's really strange. And yeah, I guess one of the things that Kenya exports is this. So I think from the man we've talked about who has been accused of the crime in two different states, let's go to an individual who, this was in the state of Illinois, and the man was arrested on suspicion that he had raped a woman in a hotel room. And just when you see his name, you can see this person is from Kenya. Yeah, this one was pretty straightforward. I just found one news story. It was a local news source. In the town of Greensburg, the individual was accused of committing a sex act on a young woman who was unaware that the sexual intercourse or other sexual conduct was occurring. And this is a felony that carries a maximum sentence of 16 years if he's convicted. I didn't find any current news. This is from 2017, so I'm not sure how the case went on.
Okay.
But his mugshot is here and he's in prison clothes.
He looks like he's in remand. Actually, there he looks like he's in remand. Right. He hasn't yet,
Orange jumpsuit, he's going through the
process. He's in jail.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything more, but you know the story. I mean, I don't mean that every accusation is a conviction. I can't find whether he, you know, it's just the trial date was set.
Okay.
He faces, the story is just of the being arrested and accused of it.
Right.
I can't find what the conviction was.
Right. Do they talk about what kind of evidence was taken? Or it's just, this is just the case. It's not even.
It's honestly one.
Oh, they haven't even talked about the trial.
No, five sentences. He remained in jail. His bond was set at $250,000.
Okay, then maybe just so that we are not accused of being super biased or whatever, we'll just say this is someone who's been accused.
This is an accusation.
Yeah.
And another one who was also accused is an individual who was driving an Uber in Kenya. Now, this story is from a Kenyan news source, and it's because the family of this individual was seeking help, financial support to secure him, I guess, a legal team and secure his freedom. But he's a 24-year-old. And when I Googled his name, I found court documents. It's in the state of California. And it says, it wasn't even that. It was a post about incidents on Uber incidents in 2020. Not even really Uber specifically, but ride share incidents. And the woman, the case, it says that the accusation is rape of a highly intoxicated female. So it's probably a fair who was intoxicated. He says he picked her up and dropped her off at her destination, and then later she brought rape charges against him. Again, accused. I can't find the case. I can't find what's going on. And this was way back in 2020.
Who created this poster?
It's called Ride Safe TNC.
You know, California really doesn't joke when it comes to certain crimes. It's very likely this young man had the entire book thrown at him. I mean, okay, maybe we should also state here.
Yes.
So I've read a lot about, you know, wrongful convictions in the US and
right.
especially, you know, against Kenyans, when you're coming to the US or North America, when you leave Africa and you're not going to South Africa or North Africa, yeah? No, and you're going to South Africa, North Africa, and outside of Africa, you are black.
Yeah.
And so you will find other dynamics going on there that you just stumble into, and very likely that the judicial system is very much going to work against you in these spaces. And as a black person, you will most likely be found. You're mostly, when you're arrested, it's with the understanding that you're guilty, proving your innocence, and not the other way around.
Yeah, the odds are stacked against you.
Incredibly so. Yeah, and
as
also
a black
getting.
Man, especially.
Exactly. And getting competent legal help is also really difficult. For the average American, it's tough because when you're arrested, you are assigned a court appointed defense attorney. And it's also very likely that you will not get the most competent. That being said, some states do not joke about certain allegations.
Mm.
And California is one of those. California, it's a very progressive state.
Mm.
So, oh boy.
I mean, we'll leave it at that. Those three that we've discussed so far are people who have been accused of the crime of rape or some kind of sexual misconduct or sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we cannot find the... I cannot find the evidence that they were convicted of it or found guilty in a court of law. This may be just because of the news coverage, that there was no coverage at the point when the person was... There was no follow-up, which we see even with our own cases. It's difficult to find follow-up. But it is disturbing that there are already... Three.
And there will be more. Unfortunately, we have to hug puppies after this. We have to go find some puppies.
I mean, this the more we go in, the more disturbing it becomes. Okay, so
oh my days.
The next one is a really disturbing incident that occurred in Alabama, the state of Alabama, where a Kenyan man was accused of sexually assaulting a young girl. She was 7 years old at the time, and they lived in the same apartment complex. And it said that he scaled the apartment complex and gained access into this upstairs apartment and then entered the room of the seven-year-old girl, allegedly, and then sexually assaulted her. And then
a seven-year-old girl.
7 years old. And her parents were in the house because it seems to be at night. So the parents woke up and the father was able to tackle this man.
Oh my God.
And detain him until the police came. So the man was charged with second degree burglary, 2 counts of first degree attempted sodomy.
Oh my God.
Sexual abuse of a child less than 12, and first degree sexual abuse or forcible compulsion. And this is the thing I've seen about cases in America. When someone is accused, like you'd think that the accusation would be like this individual who is alleged to have murdered the woman and left her in a car in an airport. You would find that there are like 5 or 6 charges that are related to that crime, aside from
the
actual murder.
The murder.
So the murder, maybe tampering with a dead body, failing to report, you know, a crime, fleeing a scene of crime, tampering with a dead body. You know, there could be so many other cases, and I see that they do really throw the book at you.
Completely.
You know, 5 or 6 charges stacked against you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I cannot find any more information aside from this first news report of this individual having been arrested and accused of this, but with the witness accounts, I mean, already the case sounds really weird and disturbing, and I don't know.
Oh God, this one I think is the worst so far.
It gets worse. It doesn't get worse, but maybe it does.
This is a child.
I have to get ice cream and hug some puppies after this.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Okay, so we have the list now. So murderer, yes. Serial killer, serial rapists, because that'll be the rest, many others, and pedophile.
Allegedly. But there you go.
This one was caught in the house, I'm sorry to say. But again, he has to go through the court system.
I mean, I don't know why parents would make up something like, of course.
As heinous.
There are all sorts of things, but your own child, it's really, really sick to think that it would be not true.
Right.
But also, you know, this is...
Wow. I'm going to need more synonyms because I feel like I have just... We are going to exhaust them all.
It's true. It's true.
Okay.
So the next few ones are just... I feel like they're in the same WhatsApp group. The next like three or four we'll discuss. I would call them... These are in the same WhatsApp group, these people. So the first one is from the state of Seattle, which I always find trouble.
State of Washington.
Washington. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's Washington is the state. Ha, Washington State. And the news is Seattle local news. And the headline is, it's terrible. Paid caregiver raped severely disabled Renton woman. So the woman is reported to be blind and nonverbal, and she was sexually assaulted by a caregiver who was paid. Again, when you look at the name, this is definitely Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it said that what happened is that in the group home, she lives, the person who the crime was committed against lives in a care home, a group home.
Mm-hmm.
And they found evidence of it. And even though the woman is reported as blind, deaf, and severely mentally disabled,
oh my God,
she has a 100-word vocabulary and can only express herself through hand signals. And the home is shared with people with similar disabilities.
Oh my God.
And when the assault was discovered, the woman was taken to a medical center, and then they did the investigation, and they found evidence of sexual assault. And based on DNA evidence, and this is the weird thing. So there were 6 men working in the home. They were asked to give, because the police ask you to volunteer a sample for DNA. 5 of the 6 men gave their DNA. And this one man didn't, and then fled to the state of Nevada.
Uh-huh.
And then the police then worked through the process and obtained a warrant for his DNA, and then he was compelled now to give it. They found him in a Las Vegas hospital where he had been receiving treatment after he tried to kill himself. Yes.
So I think he knew they would come for him.
Yes. He is a licensed nursing assistant.
Oh my days.
And he was charged with second degree rape, and as of the publishing of this article, he was in jail.
What is second degree rape?
I think first, you know, I don't know, like the second degree murder I usually know is like, and you didn't,
it's not planned, it's not premeditated. Planned, it's not,
yeah, like you just killed the person, but yeah, you happened to,
yeah,
just maybe,
but you didn't want to kill them,
you didn't, yeah, it just happened.
You did so. Plan it happened, but when you were doing it, it was
in that,
it was with the intent.
In that same vein, I don't know what second degree rape would be. Let's see what Google says it is. Actually, we have a legal document here. It says,
okay. Mm-hmm.
A person is guilty of rape in the second degree when, under circumstances not constituting rape in the first degree, the person engages. Oh, so it's like maybe you didn't premeditate it. The idea came
just there as, because it's very difficult to also ascertain premeditation. So I think this is why they do that. So it may have been premeditated, but it's difficult for you to prove it in a court of law.
Right. And also it says here, when the victim is incapable of consent by reason of being
mentally,
physically helpless or mentally incapacitated. That
oh
is.
Oh my God. Okay. That case is also so sick.
You see, it just gets worse.
You know, okay, so I have a question about that case, and specifically about this man.
Mm.
This man, you said, is a licensed nurse assistant.
Nursing assistant.
Assistant. If in the States, if they were very diligent about this, me, knowing where he comes from, because we are Kenyan women, you and I.
Yes.
We are two Kenyans, and we know Kenyan men. And if, you know, throughout the last two seasons and this season and through this particular episode,
yes,
it appears that this is a problem. So if I were in this police team or whatever,
investigative team,
yeah, I would look at other facilities he had worked at,
mm-hmm,
because it is very likely, like you said, these people position themselves in position in jobs,
situations or jobs
or careers, yeah, where they can definitely find people that they can sexually exploit, let's say in this particular case of sexual predators. And this man is reeking of being, he sounds like a sexual predator. And you see, the thing is, if this is the first time he did it, why did he go and try to kill himself when he's asked for DNA? Which makes me think.
Even refusing to give
exactly,
the DNA.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
You know, he knew the jig was up.
So this makes me think this guy has done it several times before. And this is something that, I don't know if you've talked about it in your previous episodes, but the statistics on sexual assault of disabled people, they are incredibly appalling. They are so appalling that in developed countries, if you are in an institution and you are disabled and you are of childbearing age, they could, what's it called, where they...
Like forced sterilization. Forced sterilization.
Exactly. That tends to happen. So this case is really, really scary, that, you know, already that's already a problem, and then us as Kenyans, we have decided now we are now exporting rapists. I have no more words. I mean, I do have more for the rest of the episode, but this has stunned me.
I mean, it's really terrible to think of this woman in this extremely, extremely vulnerable position, and the person who's tasked with being a caregiver. Somebody supposed to show some exceptional compassion to a person in that situation, and then to be accused of something like this. Again, let me reiterate, so far, all these people we've discussed are accused of the crime. I have not found any follow-up news to talk about how the cases went, whether they were convicted, but already having that amount of, you know, accusations.
And look, like this guy, there's physical evidence. Sorry. So a lot of those other cases where black men were disproportionately imprisoned because of wrongful convictions, actually what exonerated them was DNA testing.
Yep.
So for this one, I am so biased. And I know I have training in this field. I have a lot of training, yes, in this field, I should mention.
Professional.
But I am so biased and disgusted. And I think it's also because of who it was. It was also a 65-year-old. She's 65. On top of all those other problems. This is a show.
Elderly lady, yeah. And the fact also, I mean, aside from the DNA evidence, is the running.
Oh, yes.
The attempted suicide.
Yes.
I mean, all those just are
it's red just flags. Screaming
yeah.
guilty.
Yeah. It's,
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, so that is what it is. And I think the next few cases we'll discuss now, these people have been...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Have gone through the court
process. Oh, my God. I'm just looking at the ages.
Have been jailed.
I'm gonna need like 20 showers just to cleanse my eyes.
It's really disturbing. I mean, honestly, doing research for this, I was just glad that this is the last episode of the season. So usually between seasons, I take a bit of a break, so I'll be able to come out of this mind frame. But honestly, it made me afraid. You know, the reason we talk about this often as Kenyans who live in the diaspora, and just whenever you meet another Kenyan, the tendency, I think, because of missing home and family, you know, wanting familiarity, is to to be friendly to this person. But also I feel like a healthy dose of wariness is necessary. And this just made that thought really, really stand out. Like, I think if I'm going to America and I hear like, oh, somebody from home, I will be like wanting to, you know, go very far away, go the opposite direction from the way they are going.
Run. Don't walk. Run. Run. They are to be feared. And I know people will say, oh, we are fear mongering, but please. All these.
Actually, the one more, we're going to discuss one more of somebody who was charged. I haven't yet found evidence of the outcome of the case, but I have a local news source and also an American news source of a Kenyan man charged with raping a nursing home resident in Kansas.
Oh boy.
So, an elderly woman. And this man was, she's 86 years old. And this man was a staff member. And that's where he allegedly committed the crime, the heinous, heinous crime. And a director of the home was quoted as saying, thinking about an older woman who was likely not able to protect herself being sexually assaulted is just heartbreaking. And both news sources have a picture of the individual. And, you know, honestly, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but
it tracks.
So, yeah. Again, I couldn't find how the case went, but he was charged in the state of Kansas. It's a state, right? Kansas, yeah.
Yeah.
State of Kansas. 86-year-old woman.
That's a shosho.
And sadly, this is not the only Kenyan man who has been accused. The next two we'll talk about were actually convicted of the crime of raping elderly patients in places where they worked.
So this, I think it's now just proving the theory that those types of people would take jobs like this because...
Two separate men, one jailed for 20 years after raping a 79-year-old granny. He was working in a assisted living center in the state of North Carolina, and he was sentenced by a jury of his peers a year after being arrested for the crime.
Can we see what kind of evidence was collected? It must have been DNA evidence, right?
I think so. They say the victim was suffering from Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, dear
God. Sexually assaulted.
Oh.
And when the sexual assault was discovered, he was still in the area and he was detained by a supervisor until police came.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my days.
So I think they had maybe eyewitness and then proper physical evidence. Yeah, but this one, the story was of the conviction.
So again, this also brings my earlier point where I feel like for some of these people, especially if these are the jobs that they were doing, you don't want to know how long the list of victims is,
you
because
know, honestly,
consider that this is someone with Alzheimer's. The other one was a 79-year-old lady, the Kansas one, right?
Yes.
Isn't it also really scary that this is across America?
Yes.
You can't tell me like it's just one state or it's Texas, Kansas, North Carolina, Washington, California, Alabama.
The definition
Boston
of,
was
of
the murder.
Kuchoma. This is the definition of Kuchoma. It's in several states.
By the way, guys, so if you're hearing people having trouble getting American visas, visas to go to the US, visas to go where, this is the reason. And before you discuss, okay, maybe I'll let you discuss your last, the following case, because this is also a conviction, right?
It's also a conviction. This one also has two actually Kenyan news sources reporting the story. This is a man in, again, Texas. He was accused of raping a victim in a rehabilitation center where he worked, and then DNA during a sexual assault exam, DNA was recovered, and he was actually convicted in a court. And it's just, honestly, you know, the woman was, let me see if they've given her age. They've called her elderly. Let me see. You know, the 74. And just to think of, you know, this man who probably had, even maybe gain the trust of these people, because exactly. these people are usually often long-term residents.
Exactly.
A place where you think you would be safe, people who are hired or who work there. It's just like really disturbing. And even more disturbing is that, you know, we have several of them. It's not one. It's not two. Yeah, so...
There's some detail
about the evidence that was found in this one.
Right.
So the part of the evidence was nurses caring for the patient found blood in her underwear, which was already, you know, a red flag.
Sus.
Very, very sus. Mm. And then an exam found evidence of vaginal tearing, which is consistent with sexual abuse. And then DNA was recovered during a sexual assault exam. And if you have even the most cursory knowledge of forensics, you know what finding DNA in recovering DNA from the victim means. It's really, really sick. During the trial, the court was told that he committed the hideous act despite knowing that the woman could not consent to sex or resist his advances because of her mental condition. She again was suffering from Alzheimer's, and she died later that year.
Please continue.
This is really bad. This is Citizen Digital, and shout out to them for covering this story. In his defense, the individual who was accused said he denied. In his defense, the individual who was accused denied sexually assaulting the woman, claiming that someone instead took his DNA from a used condom and planted it on the victim's body.
Yes, that's very likely. And where would they have found a used condom? In an elderly, you know, an old people's home,
what is,
or
that?
These assisted living facilities. Like, honestly,
what,
oh, someone was there waiting. Like, and oh,
look,
a used condom. Let me go take that
and
go. Oh,
imagine,
you know,
what you would have to do. So that
be
it can
serious,
now be found.
Sir.
I mean, that person who did that, someone, you know, and this is a really classic deflection where it's not me, but someone. Someone with a really convoluted motive where they'll even follow me, collect my, who is that
How
criminal
did you know?
Mastermind?
How did you know it was semen?
Moriarty.
How did you know it was semen?
That is Moriarty from Sherlock. Who is that? Like, honestly. So he said, I just gave her a shower and took her to the dining area. His colleague,
oh God, he was giving her a shower. They don't have, like, I have so many questions about these facilities. They have men showering women.
I mean, I think it's also just like
there's no labor.
Labor to work in, that
in
is
those,
like one
yeah.
of the one of the markets that is very afflicted by labor shortages.
So it's a field which where they are constantly seeking labor in North America.
Yep, there's a lot of labor shortages in that field, in that market. So yeah, it's his colleague is the one who raised the alarm. She saw the condition the woman was in, the victim, and the colleague immediately suspected sexual assault. And big up to her, you know, for being attentive.
Yeah, she's an ally. But which means then it must happen often enough for this to be in someone's radar.
Like, you know, this is something that could be happening. So when you see it, you're like, I know what that is. And then also, she saw the condition of the victim. So honestly, who is this? Who is this person?
I feel like when we are done with this episode, I'm going to need to flood my head with just to watch this. I don't even know
honestly,
how you had all this information.
We're going to go look at cat videos.
And dog videos, and find some puppies. We have to find some puppies, because this is just, for lack of a better way to say this, just not vibes.
It's
like, what is this?
It's terrible. It's so terrible. And
to think that these are our compatriots.
So this man was convicted, is currently in jail. And I don't know, I feel like, depending on the crime that you commit, some people their stay in jail is made even worse by the people they are with. I usually find it tickles me a bit that people who are in jail, where you would assume like people are all bad, you know, these are all really bad people, but they want to distinguish themselves from certain, you know, category of criminals. So I don't know. Well, maybe it's just me hoping that he's not really having a good time in that jail. But yeah, it's really, really terrible and disturbing.
It is. And another thing I'd also add to this is these people who work in care homes, they need to be severely, like, honestly, everywhere they've worked, they need to really go back, because this is sick. And you know, I used to think at least we had a culture where we are respecting our elders. But so far, I think we've seen 3 to 4 cases of men, middle-aged, young to middle-aged men, raping older women.
Yeah, and the other, like, guy was killing them, robbing and killing them.
Dear God.
Like, so, oh my, I God. Mean, I feel like that immediately, that pattern, I feel like that's a pattern, like Kenyan men and these elderly women,
yes,
of this foreign country.
Yes.
I feel like that mixture is not a good mixture.
Yes.
And I agree with you. I feel like, yes, and I know that probably with the labor shortages, you know, you take what you can get, otherwise the industry would maybe collapse, which I don't know if it's such a bad thing.
And I would also imagine that these people are escaping any criminal prosecution if they're doing it for some time, considering who their victims are.
Honestly,
it must be, you know, like, you see, like, you see, like, that guy, severely. He killed 20, over 20 women before. There's one where he slipped up, and then now that was his downfall. And also this one, there was a woman, a nurse, who saw and raised the alarm.
A colleague was chonjo.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, the other thing that...
It's very, very... What you're saying is really, really likely. And it's something that also crossed my mind. Like...
It's scary.
You know, the fact that this could be a repeat offender.
Yeah. Oh. Now, I have so many points to make. Number one, I have enjoyed these articles in the sense of I hate the subject matter.
Yes.
But the headlines are in the active tense.
Right.
Kenyans need to really take note of this, because whenever sexual assault happens, it is put in a passive tense.
Mm.
That a girl was sexually assaulted by, you see, and it's not
even sexually assaulted.
Hey. And that's a really big problem, because who is raping them? Who is raping them? So a lot of these titles, like, I'm just going to say a couple of headlines, yeah? Kenyan man in Texas jailed for life for raping 74-year-old patient. You see that? That is good journalism, because this one did this to this. Not this happened to... Rape doesn't happen. It is done. Please give me another example. Just any other random case. So long as it's...
One.
Give me another one, because they did it. Paid caregiver raped severely disabled rent-on woman. Terrible headline. But you see, it's in the active tense. Who did what to whom? In Kenyan cases, this is not how they report it. You see, like, even this is not okay. This is that one is not okay.
Yeah, this one is not good.
Yeah, that one doesn't pass the test.
Pass the vibe check.
Yeah. Here, Illinois man facing rape charge. Not... Putting centering, we don't center
ongoing in Illinois.
We do not center, you know, like, in these things, they should always be put on blast. So that's one thing that I say has really stood out. The other thing is, and I think this is also something that's really pertinent, right?
Yes.
In the US, they document more than in other spaces, right? So that's why, like, in the US, they have more registered serial killers,
yes,
than in any other place in the world. And I don't think it's because they have more.
Yes.
They may, but it's because they document more. So a lot of this, you'll see a lot of this. Now imagine, these are the rape cases that we have seen in the US, perpetrated by, let's say criminal cases. Majority of them have been rape, but as we had said before, let us mention, there was a serial killer, let's say it together, alleged serial rapist,
yes,
alleged pedophile,
alleged pedophile, yes,
exactly, and alleged rapist,
several alleged rapists.
And a couple convicted rapists,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So those are the ones that have been documented in the US. So imagine how many undocumented Kenyans are committing crimes in the US. And then now, in their homeland where they are being produced, can you imagine how many more there are? I think that's incredibly scary. It's incredibly scary. And we know that it's probably happening like crazy also because our headlines are always girl molested in insert county. And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, know at least like five. I'm not even going to say one, at least five.
So on this podcast, we also have discussed a number of women who have been
precisely.
And some of them have undergone sexual violence.
Exactly. So, I mean, it is definitely, it gives you pause.
It definitely gives you pause. It brings me back to what you were saying at the beginning. The country needs to be made safer for girls, for women, for children. A country that is safe for women and girls is a country that is safe for everybody. That is the bottom line. The bottom line is women and girls. They're extremely vulnerable people in this society.
Right.
And I feel like just going through this episode, I mean, there's something very draining about all these stories.
Yeah, it's so heavy. Like, I'm even stunned. Like, I think I just need a moment to just breathe. And, you know, to pray, to pray for all these victims and the victims that we don't know about. And, you know, to also just pray for Kenyan women because we are really going through it.
I hope that all the people who have committed the crimes are able to face the full force of justice. I hope this man who killed and left a woman in a car in an airport in Boston, I hope he's caught and I hope he faces the full force of the law.
When we think about the kind of society you want to live in, also this is a message now to Kenyan men who are apologizing for Kenya, for other Kenyan men who have been have been accused of what and what not. This is the society you guys want to live in, like truly. Before you start saying, I don't know what, how many cases have we told you today? I think it's about how many, 10? 10 is a good, and this is us being conservative. Is this everything?
This is definitely not everything. These are the ones actually I could find like a little bit more information so we could discuss. There are more.
Isn't that worrisome?
Some of them, I really had to look for the news. I found, because I was following different sources,
right.
But if the source was not a news source,
exactly.
I would look for the news source. That's exactly. Why all of the ones who are here are news sources.
Yeah.
But honestly, there were very many others that just didn't make the cut. And possibly many more than that.
Exactly. Even more, considering that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, let me flip it. Imagine if we can give you 10 Americans who have come to Kenya and committed this entire like gamut of this entire range of crimes. How would you feel also as a Kenyan? And how would you feel also to America? I'm not here apologizing for this country. I'm not going into the politics of that. But it's embarrassing. Are we not embarrassed?
I mean, we should definitely be extremely embarrassed. And that should be the least of the emotions we are feeling.
Precisely.
It's really disturbing. And then to think of how many, you know, decent, proper Kenyans there are. Just trying to make it out there. And just how something like this can be so ruinous to that whole journey.
And this is also not a space for not all men. If you're thinking not all men, this is not please leave this discussion. If listening to all this and the last thing that you can think is not all men, please, I don't even know where to direct you. And by the way, Kenyans in the diaspora, if you are called to jury duty, please go. Please. Me, I believe, let us be there so that we remove, like, as you know, like, they need, first of all, they need diverse faces and bodies on that jury so that we can remove without any shadow of a doubt that these are also race-based and they are wrongful convictions. Even you as a Kenyan there, even you will be like, this one did it. This one, that one, look at his face.
Namjua tu. Mwone.
To connect, you know, like we have them, so many of them back home. This one, but honestly, it's really embarrassing. it's really embarrassing. Just I'm just saying it's embarrassing.
Appalling.
Above everything else. Everything else. I feel a bit dead inside, honestly, after this episode. So you, how do you feel after 3 seasons of this?
Goodness. Like, I mean, you know, I usually like the last episode to be something not directly related to femicide or crime, but I felt in this situation, this is something we had to discuss. The exports is, once the thought came into my head and once I did the research and found it, it just had to happen. But yeah, I compartmentalize a lot.
Okay, so I have a follow-up to this because this is just in the US.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, I already know of a Kenyan criminal in Canada.
Right.
This is very recent.
Oh my goodness. We didn't talk about that.
But
I mean, I also found some others in the UK.
Yes. Now put in. Exactly. That's what my follow-up point is. Now think of all the big Kenyan diaspora communities around the world. Think of the community in the UK. Think in Germany, dear God.
In Europe, yeah. In Australia.
In Australia. Uh-huh. In Dubai, in the Gulf. So, yeah.
I mean, I feel like we need to mention that Canada case. This is an honorable mention because that one was actually really sick. This is a Kenyan man who killed a Kenyan child in Canada. And actually, that one was actually also convicted, right? He was going.
Oh, yes.
He was being sentenced.
Yes, yes, yes. I think he got. He's never coming out.
And the background was really, really disturbing. I mean, this man became obsessed, it's reported, with a Kenyan woman. They were all living in Canada. And this Kenyan woman had rebuffed his advances.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought they had dated. And then after
they had dated and then she had rebuffed. Oh, that's what I mean. Like,
right.
When he became obsessed with her, they did have a relationship, it's
right.
Reported. But at some point, she began to create distance between them.
Yeah,
and he did not like this.
Because she said her husband and child are coming.
Yes, she was living in Canada at that time with one child, and her husband and the other child were coming. Her family
right.
was going to reunite. So
right.
I think she thought twice about this new dalliance and thought like she needs to create distance. But this man became obsessed with her, it's reported. And so what happened, the incident was this woman, do you want to tell it? Because you know it as well.
I know it. I'll interject.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this lady was having a sleepover. Sorry. The child of this lady that this man became obsessed with was having a play date with one of her friends.
Right.
And they came over to the lady's house and she made them cereal. So cereal with some milk. And the children eat and they become really sick. The other child becomes more sick, extremely sick, and ends up dying.
Well, the mother is called. So here, that I liked that little deal. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it, I mean, but it caught my eye. So in that, yeah, during the sleepover, so there's the kid of the lady who the man is obsessed with,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the friend who's
the
visiting
child, yeah.
So the child of the lady who the man is obsessed with only got slightly sick. But now the friend who was visiting became so sick that within an hour of eating the cereal, the mother was called. They went to the emergency room. She had a heart attack. She had two heart attacks and multiple seizures. And this child was very young. She was she like five?
Like around that age, under 10 years old.
Yeah, I think she was around 5 or 6. I could be wrong. So imagine that. And the mom was saying that when she was picking her up, her mouth was gray. So they were not able to resuscitate her. And she died. She was only 3.
Yep.
She was 3 years old.
3-year-old girl. And all these people are Kenyans. Or have at least the child who was killed,
yes.
And the man who killed her,
yes.
He was eventually found to have found a way to poison the cereal. I think he was hoping that maybe the lady he was obsessed with would take it, which, I mean,
come on, who eats cereal? I'm sorry. Like, come on.
I'm disturbed to
BFFR.
Say that I feel like it's a common motive, like, you know, that if I can't have you, no one will mentality.
Right.
It's something that I've seen before. Even in the cases we've discussed.
Yeah, in a lot of the, even like the previous episodes in the podcast, I think that's what ends up fueling at least a fair number.
I mean, some of the more prominent ones.
Right.
That mentality seems to have really played a part.
Right. So his access to the poison. So this you know more than I do. So can you give like more details?
So the thing he used to poison the child's food or the cereal that eventually the child ate was something called sodium nitrite. And this sodium nitrite is something used to preserve meat. And this man works as a janitor in a company that I think preserves meat, or at least in any case had a high quantity of that sodium nitrite. And one day at work, the sodium nitrite spills, it's reported. And when the sodium nitrite spills, this man being a janitor, he's called to clean it up. And it is reported by his supervisor that the supervisor told him that, you know, a teaspoon of this could kill a person really quick. And I suppose you can only extrapolate that that's where the idea sprung up in his head, that this is something that you can use to poison somebody to kill them. Right. So in that spillage, he didn't clean everything up. Some of it he took and kept for himself. It's reported. And that's what he eventually put in the cereal that was eaten by this little Kenyan girl who died in Toronto in Canada. So that's an honorable mention, one of the non-US-based cases, just right. to show you that these cases are really international, which right. is really sad.
And we have a problem.
Kenya, this is a problem.
Kenya has a problem.
This is something that we need to take care of. There is a very, really bad... I don't think the problem begins in the US. I think this problem really begins in Kenya, and we see it in our society a lot.
Absolutely.
We see it in the discourse around rape,
yeah.
in the current rape culture that we have.
Right.
We really do need to do better. We need to do better at home.
Also in the discourse around, you know, femicide and men not taking no for an answer, and they feel very entitled to the lives of Kenyan women.
I mean,
or women even at large. Let me just say Kenyan women, because that's, you know, but of women at large, you just feel like you are entitled to that. That's a problem. That's
it
a
really
sick
is.
Psychological problem.
I feel like we really need to go back to like our roots and remember who you are. Remember that you are a man. A lot is expected of you. You know, you need to accept life situations as they are.
And these are not men.
A man should understand, you know, no. If you're not a man who can hear no, then that's a problem. How do we end an episode like this? As always, I always say, like, the more you know, the safer you can keep yourself. And the more you know what needs to be changed so that we can do better. This whole episode is evidence that we need to do better.
A piece of me died today. Truly. This is reprehensible. I'm sorry, not sorry about this episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
compiling all of this. I saw even the toll it took on you just to compile all of this and to just read, you know, just reading it all. You know, here at least you were able to condense it. But this kind of research, I remember when I was doing my own studies, it was draining. And I suspect also, you know, I'm probably in some FBI search list for some of the things I had to
even
look
now,
for.
Like, you know, loading these pages, I'm like, what if somebody comes and goes through my history? They're like, what is wrong with you?
No, but I think it's okay. You know, you're not looking for how to.
Yeah.
I think it's the how to. Those are the ones. But it's just, thank you for doing such a great job with your podcast. Congratulations on finishing 3 seasons.
Yay!
Thank you. Congratulations. And also, you know, like, it's also a bit, you know, grim and macabre. It's a very macabre type of topic, but you've done such a great job. And I'm incredibly proud of you. And I'm really happy to have been here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on this episode. I know it was not easy to listen to some of this stuff and enter this space with me, but thank you.
Thank you too. Uber Eats is on you today.
Okay.
Yeah. We are going to eat our fillings after this.
You guys, we are getting some ice cream.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay safe. Take care of yourselves.
And happy holidays.
Bye.
And if you're a woman, they won't pick you. Don't be a pick me. Okay, edit that out. I'm sorry. Don't put that in.
It's okay.
Just never pick you. They'll never pick you.
No, not be a pick me, my friend. There's no space for that.
There's no. And you stupid men, shut up. Shut up. Stupid. Go tell your friends to stop raping. Tell your friends to stop killing. Eh? Why are you raping Shoshos?
You know? What the fuck?
Like, what the?
She's are you sick? Oh. How does the thought go from thought to execution? Like, are you a sick bastard?
It kept on getting worse because you were at 65, 89, 74. Like, come, be fucking serious. Yeah. Eh? And then you thought, eh? She has Alzheimer's.
Someone took the condom
and swabbed
my
friend, semen.
Nobody
and
is that interested in you. Don't fool yourself. Nobody is that interested in you.
You think we are that stupid? This is also what happens. Sorry. This is what happens when you don't have accountability. Yes. You see, Kenyan men are not taught to take accountability. That guy should have just said, you know, I did it. Because we are all there looking at you like a sick, perverted fuck. And you're also stupid. You know, like,
The audacity of being that sick.
In the court.
And then also that stupid.
In the court of law. And the relatives of known perpetrators of this kind of violence, please stop harboring
criminals.
Your predatory relatives, this is not okay. This is my appeal to the family of the man who killed and left the body in Logan Airport. Like, honestly, what the hell? I know you know where he is. I know you know. Don't tell me you don't know. Please stop harboring a criminal, please. This is not okay. That lady deserves justice.